Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva on Days of Our Lives and Friends. And tonight is our pleasure to have Martha Madison, one of the stars of the Bay, and one of our favorites from Days of Our Lives here tonight. Hi, Martha.
Hi, how are you?
Great. And we have Rose tonight's call screening. If anybody wants to call in and ask Martha a question, you can call us at 914-338-1239, and you can use Skype also. And we have Marianne and Anna are co-hosting tonight.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. So, Martha, what's going on with the Bay?
Well, I don't know if everyone knows, but we're doing our summer series right now called The Dark Side of the Bay that airs every Thursday at 12:15 Pacific Time, 3:15 Eastern. And there's a lot of debauchery and sexiness happening this summer on the dark side.
Yeah, I first two episodes already aired, and you're going to be on it too. Can you tell us a little bit what Marley is up to on the dark side?
Well, as you saw in kind of the season finale of The Bay, Marley's husband finds out that she's in fact having an affair and leaves with her kids. So Marley is left to pick up the pieces and figure out which way to move on. Ignacio is also in the dark side of the Bay, so you'll see us kind of playing out the future of our coupleness in the end, in the last few weeks of the dark side of the Bay. It looks really great, and we really enjoy working together. So you'll have to stay tuned.
Yeah, a lot of women were envious seeing your new co-star. He's very, very sexy. You're a lucky girl.
I tell you what, if nothing else, I can definitely finish off my life saying I've gotten to make out with some of the hottest guys in television.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There ain't nothing wrong with that, sister.
Is this the Ignacio character that you're talking about?
Yes.
Manny
Ramos.
You had me at Ignacio.
Oh, my gosh. He is a doll. One of my favorite people I've ever worked with. And, not too shabby to look at.
Woo. So, sorry, honey, I have to go to work now. I have to make out with hot guys all day long. See you later.
Yeah, pretty much. My poor husband.
Yeah, and poor Marley. Marley's had a rough time. I believe she thinks her father might have passed away. Or does she know that yet?
She hasn't learned that yet, but if you stay tuned, you'll see that. just like a lot of the other characters that you've seen in daytime and that I've played in daytime, it's always one crisis after the other. So, I've definitely played out my fill of crisis moments on television. So this is one more for the book.
Yeah, it's crazy. Your father's supposedly dead. I'm not buying that he's dead yet. I want to see a body, especially when he has a twin, so you never know. Her mother and her brother Peter are both missing. No, not Peter, Brian's missing. And he just had a busted wedding, which was hilarious. And
I love to see Camden in a wedding dress. It's hilarious.
And he looks fantastic too. And Peter has amnesia, and then she finds out Liana's her half sister that she's not quite sure why, and her husband left with her kid. So basically, her entire immediate family is pretty much all blown up.
Yeah, it's just a regular day in her life. I think Marley's history is a lot like that. I think that her mother has been in and out of her life a lot. She's always tried to keep it together and always wanted to just have a normal life, and she just can't catch a break, this one. So, it's good for me. I enjoy playing it. So.
Yeah.
Marley.
So Marley always has this antagonism towards her mother. Is it because her mother's always involved with all these dramas? But at the same time, too, why is Marley cheating, though? So she's kind of doing the same thing to her own son.
Yeah, you know, I think that the apple doesn't ever really fall that far from the tree. I think that Marley blames, I think, a lot of the instability in her youth on her mother, and she wanted her mom to be there and be like the, you know, Leave It to Beaver kind of mom, and she wasn't. She was out doing crazy, debaucherous things and not putting her kids first. And I think as Marley got older, and she blamed her mother for having that kind of instability in her life. And, you know, here she is doing the same thing, because that is really the cycle of life. I mean, you really don't ever get that far away from what you know, I don't think. Most people don't. So I think she recognizes that in herself, but I don't think she knows how to control it. I don't think she wants to control it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to play. I like it.
Oh, yeah. How excited were you with the Bay's Emmy nomination?
For the Bay? I seriously got the call that had happened, and I just didn't believe it. I didn't even know that we were submitted, and I just was shocked. I was so overwhelmed and excited and just so proud of everyone that we work with, and our team really operates as a team, and, you know, everybody contributes. On a level that the show, you know, just wouldn't be what it is without every single contribution that we get from each other, mm-hmm. from our director, and from the fans who really contributed to helping us make this possible. So to see that rewarded in an Emmy nomination is like, I mean, we're a web series. It's huge. It's such an honor, and we were just so excited. It was a very fun party.
They need to tweak that category. There's so many web soaps now. I understand why they don't have their own category. And 2 years in a row, the web soaps got thrown in with the children's programming, so I don't understand that at all. So
yeah, I mean, I think it's good that they're starting to understand that this is a medium that they need to incorporate, and I think they didn't really know where else to put it. I do think, you know, I heard somewhere, I don't even remember who I heard it from, that they were considering a web series or a web drama category for next year, so we'll see. I'm not sure if that's really happening or not, but I know that I heard some people talking about it, and I think that's the way they should do it. And, you know, I think it's great that they know that they have to evolve in this way and include these great dramas online. Certainly it's a wave of media, of the future of media. I think everything's moving to the Internet, so it's really awesome to be a part of that, sort of pioneering that, for soap operas anyway. I think it's great. Excited to be part of this team.
Are you guys filming season 3 yet?
No, we haven't started filming yet. We just had all of the scripts, did a big table read, and read all of them through. So we have about 150 pages of new material that we're going to start shooting next month. And it's really, really great stuff. I think it's the best stuff that I've read so far since we started doing this. You know, now that we've kind of developed all these characters, you can really do some fun things with it. You know, it's not so much about introducing the characters anymore. Now you can really manipulate it and go with it. It's really some fun stuff coming up. I think season 3 will be our best yet, for sure.
Yeah, I actually liked how he set up season 1. I love the whole confession series. I thought that was fantastic.
That was my favorite. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that was some of my favorite stuff to watch. Because they gave you a chance to get to know everyone individually. Because now the clips every week are so short, it's hard to get to know everyone. So I thought that was a really brilliant thing for Gregory to do, to really bring some, you know, backstory to all of these characters and stuff.
Do you know when season 3 is supposed to air?
I don't know when it starts to air, but I know that we start shooting it in the middle of September. So if I had to guess, I would say probably the beginning of October. It's not a big turnaround like regular TV. So, you know, Gregory's a pro. He can get in there and shoot it, edit it, cut it, and put it up online in no time. So I would guess probably the first couple weeks of October will start to air.
When he did season one, he mostly did it over weekends and weekend nights. Are you guys still doing that now, or how's your scheduling for the filming?
Well, for The Dark Side of the Bay, because we had a really limited cast, I think, you know, we pretty much shot from morning till night and sometimes way into the night every day for a couple of weeks and finished it. I think doing the regular season, because the cast is so big, there's so many people and a lot of stories going on, it's hard to schedule. So it becomes a little random. You know, he shoots it when everyone can be available to shoot each particular scene. You know, scheduling things like this is an art in and of itself.
I remember, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just remember when I was at the Henry Fat event June 2010, and I know you were trying to get everything closed down, everything, so you could leave because you had to tape, like, or you had to film the bay.
That's right.
Like that Saturday afternoon. I remember.
That was such a great job of running around,
dealing with all of the, you know, the chaos of that event and everything, and it was a blast.
My God.
But there were so many people there and everything.
That was a hard day. I remember that very well because I think the air conditioner wasn't working that well. It was really hot outside. The microphone wouldn't work. And I had to get, like, my husband to come in and do that. And then I'm like, oh, my God, we're getting ready to shoot the day. Okay, gotta go, but I gotta clean. You know,
I really felt for you.
Actress, restaurant
trooper.
Editor, like,
it really made an impression on me because I thought, here she is, she's got to go take this thing, and we're still trying to get everything settled here, and nobody was leaving, you know.
Well, I think the sign of nobody wanting to leave is a good sign. So
yeah,
good.
It was. We really had a blast. It was nice, and and I have to get this in too. I found out that you were a Kazi that day, so you're officially part of the Kazis, so that's awesome.
Yay!
So, anyway.
I'm a huge fan of Lauren Kozlis. She is a cool chick. I love her.
She is. But yeah, so it was a fun day. But I remember you having, you know, dealing with that, and I thought, oh, poor girl, she's had a long day already, and now she's going to change.
Well, the sad thing is that most of my days are some variation of that. Working in a restaurant is not an easy job, and certainly managing and operating three of them is a big deal.
Yes. And where are the other? I mean, I know where Henry's Head is, but where are the other ones?
We have another restaurant called Luna Park. We have a location in San Francisco in the Mission District on 18th and Valencia Street. And we also have a location here in Hollywood on the corner of Wilshire and La Brea.
Okay.
Yeah, so Henry's Hat, I actually just closed escrow. I sold it. So
Henry's Hat, sadly, I did.
It's sadly no longer mine, but very happy to have kind of unloaded that. It was just it was too much work. I didn't have enough time in the day to get everything done on the level of quality that I wanted to do it. And,
right.
You know, it's a successful place, and we found a really great owner who wanted to continue operating it as Henry's Hat, and that was just the best way we could do it. So,
That's good then. That's good for you.
Yeah, bittersweet, but I'm so happy to kind of have some free time again to focus on, you know, acting and, you know, maybe producing and writing and some things that I really want to do creatively. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your dog, Henry? Did you name a restaurant after your dog?
Yeah. I did. I named my restaurant after my dog because I'm one of those crazy people.
I understand.
I am actually physically in love with my dog. He is amazing. he is a beautiful Weimaraner. He's 6 years old, and he is, you know, the last time I took him to the vet a couple of weeks ago for a checkup, they said, you know, they were referring to something, you know, with his hips or something. I said, well, you know, it's pretty common for an old dog. And I swear to God, I almost laughed at the vet.
Almost punched him.
He's not old, he's six.
Oh.
It's crazy that I am so in love with my dog. But anyway, I don't have any kids, so all of that energy goes
into that's okay. I have a cat, but I love dogs, too. I'm a dog lover, too, but I have a cat, and she's my cat kid, so, you know, I understand.
Yeah. Well, Henry wooed me. I did not want him, and I literally threatened divorce on a number of occasions because of this dog. Like, I did not want to have this dog because it's eating all of my shoes and destroying my house, and I don't know. I woke up one day and was like, okay, you can have all my shoes. It's okay.
I
don't know.
You just give in after a while.
Yeah,
I just decided it's better to give in.
Right.
I know. I had pristine leather couches until I got my cat. And it's like,
yeah.
I thought I would be one of those people that would freak out. And I'm like, well, she's so adorable. Oh, well, what's a little scratch? You know?
And do you
yep.
And do you find when you have a pet like that, they kind of run the house anyway?
Oh, yes.
More
there's
or less.
No question that Henry is the alpha dog in the house.
Right.
He's in charge, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. He's so cute. Worth it.
Oh,
what type of dog is he?
He's a Weimaraner. He is,
wow.
They're really high energy dogs, but they're beautiful
mm-hmm.
and they're so, so, so smart. So it really is like having a little toddler in the house. He can open doors and he can, like, he'll when he's screaming and clawing at something, it almost sounds like he's trying to say something. The intonation of his voice is
mm-hmm.
hilarious. He's amazing.
I love Caesar Milan. And before I got my cat, I was watching. I don't know. I was just obsessed with Caesar because he's cute for one, and I just love the whole the dog whisper thing. And I found out quickly that his theories don't work on cats. I just it's a totally different animal, literally.
Different mentality. Cats are very independent. Yeah. No, dogs are a little more needy. They just think they're in charge.
Oh, but mine's a sweetie. She's a sweetheart. But yeah.
Thank God for pets.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. No, they make life a lot better.
Yes. Next, we'll have to work on kids. We're talking about that. So maybe we'll, Henry will have some competition in the next couple of years. We'll see.
Oh, boy.
I have a few toddlers in the house.
Do you? How is it?
Go ahead. I can wait. Go ahead.
How did you get your start in acting?
Well, when I was a little kid, I used to spend summers with my dad, as my parents were divorced, and I was really shy. Like, I didn't talk very much. I think I was just one of these really imaginative but introverted kids. And my stepmother was trying to figure out what to do. You know, she didn't have any kids yet, and she didn't really know how to entertain me, and I barely spoke. And so she put me in an acting class, which I think was probably one of the best, smartest decisions anybody could have made. I mean, I literally went to that class that summer, and I have not shut up since
then. Wow.
Great. She was best. She's a great stepmother and a great person, and she recognized that in me, and it worked.
That's cool. That's a neat story.
Yeah.
And she'll be expecting her name to be heard when that Emmy is.
Yeah.
And
someday.
I own it all, too.
And I would. I've had that stick in my head since I was 7.
Oh, that's so neat.
Oh,
that's so
every
sweet.
Actress has that speech in her head every day.
That's cool, though. I mean, but it's neat that she really saw that in you and thought, well,
oh, God. She's a spectacular lady. Glad to have her in my
life. Martha, I was on your website, and I saw you kind of like come from a blended family, and there's that little riddle on you that says that you're the oldest, the youngest, and an only child, but you have two brothers and two sisters.
That's
I thought
right.
that was cute. So can you tell us a little bit about your family and growing up? I guess you kind of like kind of was like your own Brady Bunch kind of sounded
yeah.
like.
Yeah,
to
it
me.
Does kind of. So both of my parents were married 3 times, and they were each other's second marriage. I hope that they're not cringing as I tell the story, but they all found love eventually.
Mm-hmm.
my mother was married once before and had two daughters with her first husband, who were my sisters, my older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and my father, after that marriage and after my father's first marriage, got married and had me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see how that works. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then pretty quickly thereafter, they went their separate ways, and my mother remarried, and my father remarried, and my father had two boys with his third wife, who are my two younger brothers. So I am the youngest of my mother's kids. I'm the oldest of my father's kids, but I'm the only child between my mother and my father.
Oh, right,
cool.
Right. Yeah.
So there's the riddle.
I was reading that. That's cute. Yeah.
The good news is that we all get along, so it's all good.
Well, that's good.
We have a very happy family, and we all love each other. Right. Now, my older sisters have four other siblings as well.
Wow. Now, are most of them in Texas, or are they all over the place?
My brothers and my dad and stepmother live in Houston still. They live out by Memorial City, and my mother lives in Dallas. And one of my sisters and her family live in Dallas as well. And then my oldest sister lives in Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, cool.
In California. So,
wow.
Yeah. Allison and I, took off as soon as we could from Texas, and my other sister stayed. So that's how that worked out.
Huh.
So two of us in vacation destinations, which is great. So people come and visit all the time.
Yeah. That's a cute riddle, though.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take a caller. Okay, Jennifer. Hi, you're on with Martha.
Hi, Martha. Hi, girls.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
How are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Oh, good. Well, my question is kind of days related. Would you consider going back to days if you are asked to come back, or...
You know, I get asked this question all the time, and, you know, keep in mind that I am an actress who every single day is looking for work, so of course I would. I would love to be employed anywhere for a, you know, especially for something as cushy as a regular job, like a contract job. Those are really hard to get. I loved my time at Dave. I had a great time there and really loved everybody. So, yeah, absolutely I would.
Do you have an idea yet where, if Belle comes back to the show, what would you like Belle to be doing?
I would like her to not be crying. I would like her to not be talking about the latest crisis in her life. I would like her to be making out more and being sexy more. But
let's say what she would be doing or who she would be doing, because I'd vote Philip.
Yeah. That is a good question, babe. I preferably would like to be doing Jay Johnson, but, you know.
Stand alone.
That was a fun storyline. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And you guys were so hot together. I mean, you know, and not that I would expect you to remember this conversation. You've probably had it with many other people, too, but I another thing that sticks out in my mind is we did talk about that at that event. Because I was thinking, gosh, I mean, those scenes with Philip were so hot. And it's like nothing against Brandon Beamer or anything, but, like, I didn't really see the chemistry with the Sean Douglas thing. But
you know, I've heard all of this. I definitely hear it a lot. And, you know, it's hard to control because, I mean, it's hard to know who you're going to click with on screen and who you aren't. Because we all like each other. We all enjoy working together. And obviously, you don't look around the room and say he's ugly. I mean,
no, he's a very attractive man. I mean, there's nothing technically wrong with him. It's just there was just something about you and Jay. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, and, you know, it's finding a scene partner that you can have that something with is really priceless in the world of daytime. And I was really surprised and kind of disappointed that they didn't continue with that story. But,
yeah.
I definitely think there's a lot of story there to continue telling if they ever decide to do that. And you would get no objection from me. So I think it would be super fun.
You're just collecting the hot guys. You don't care how many, right?
I know.
Ignacio, Philip,
go work with Jay. Hard life.
Yeah, it must be terribly hard to have to go to work and work with
you know, Brandon Beamer or J.K. Johnson. I was just like,
there's nothing hard about it. It's a blast. So
I'll bet.
You know, if it ever happened, I would definitely want to do more stuff like that and kind of veer Belle away from, like, this, you know, soppy pants kind of whiny character that I definitely agree with a lot of the people that I've seen heard talk about that. I totally agree, but it's not totally up to the actor in that point, you know. You have to play it from the paper.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, I think it would be fun for Belle to come, if she's going to come back in a devious way. You know, they never explored the fact that she's a Dimera. They never finished the story with Belle and Philip. I think there's a lot of fun stuff you can do there.
Oh, we'll have to start the Twitter campaign.
Yeah.
Do it. That was so cute.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
Oh, thanks, Jen. Jen,
sure.
Do you want to stay on mute? You mean mute you? Do you want to keep listening on the phone, or do you want me to hang up on you?
If I could keep listening on the phone, that would be great.
Okay. All right. I'll put you on mute then, hon. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, with the whole Fell thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. What I noticed, what I liked was, it seemed to me that Philip always made Belle smile. It just seemed to me Belle opened up and seemed happy. Mm-hmm. And then when you go back to Sean, it was kind of like, it's a marriage. She's like, going back home to him.
Right, yeah.
But that's what it seemed like to me. You know, Philip just made her smile and glow.
Yeah, I think that when they, you know, when they did such a long storyline about Belle not being able to choose between the two, like when Philip was in Iraq and all that kind of stuff, I feel like it's because that played out for such a long time that the audience got really mad that she wasn't picking Sean, who was the one that, you know, was supposed to be picked, you know? And I think that they got sick of the, I feel like they got sick of the coupling at that, around that time. And I wish that they wouldn't have done that, but you can't go back and change it. But I do think that you can take that history and write a fun new story. And certainly I think the characters have been gone long enough that you could come back and tell a whole new story.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. My opinion.
We had a Twitter question from @GranolaGirl. She was wondering, how do you like the pace of the storyline for the Bay, and how is it for the actors to sustain the story as opposed to doing a soap opera, you know, 1 hour a day, five times a week?
Right. Well, it's apples and oranges. I think doing the pacing for the storylines on the Bay is already, you know, much faster because you have to kind of keep people's attention over time. So I definitely think you get through the story pretty quickly. And I like that. I think that, you know, I think people's attention spans have gotten smaller and smaller since the inception of the internet and things like that. So I think you really have to tell these stories a little bit quicker and move on. You know, in daytime, they take a long time to tell these stories, mainly because they retell a part of it every day in the beginning.
Some writers do worse about to do more.
Right, and I think that's a really hard to get over. You know, you have to kind of do that because people might not tune in every day, but the people who do tune in every day could get pretty bored that way. So I don't know. I mean, I don't run a soap. I don't know what the obstacles are. I'm not a writer. I don't really know, but I definitely think that if you can tell the story at a quicker pace, people will be more interested.
Mm-hmm. What I love about Gregory and what I love about the Bay is he always ends at every episode with a little cliffhanger at the end or some kind of shocking. I love that. And I kind of wish Phil used to do that. So when I was a kid, you know, you'd run home and try to catch In the Days or Santa Barbara or whatever was on at the time. And you always wanted to watch Friday because you knew something stunning could happen. And you're like, oh, my God, you can't wait till Monday to see how everything resolved. And soaps kind of went away from that.
They shoot so far in advance is part of the problem that I don't know if they I just don't know if they always know what's going to air on a Friday. You know what I mean? But I think I think because there's so much activity and kind of spoilers and all that kind of stuff online, but that takes away a lot of the suspense as well. I mean, people can just go online and find out what's going to happen, you know, 2 months down the line because somebody's talking about it.
Right.
So that, I think that takes away the whole essence of a cliffhanger, which is too bad, you know. I mean, that's what's fun about soaps is that you wanted to stay involved and wanted to stay glued to your TV screen because you had no idea what they were going to do. I don't know. I feel like the internet kind of ruined the suspense of daytime.
Well, don't you think? Yeah, as an actor, doesn't that bother you? You know, you just did great work, and you're dying for everybody to see it, and then everybody knows what happened. Sometimes 2 to 3 weeks in advance of the episode airing. I mean, as an actor, that's gonna be frustrating.
It's totally a bummer. It's totally a bummer, and you know, like you won't even be surprised when somebody comes back to a show because you've already read about it in every publication for like 3 months ahead of time. So you're already anticipating this great return. The returns don't even make that big of a fuss anymore. But, you know, again,
that's true.
I don't know the battles that you know, soap opera showrunners have to face. I mean, how do you overcome that? I don't know how you fix that.
Yeah, it's almost it's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, because
right.
if you don't issue spoilers, people claim they don't tune in because they don't know who's going to be on. And so, because I know Days has done that a few times where they had them printed in the magazines and stuff, but it's that weird thing where people are used to having them now, so if they don't have them, they get upset, but yet if they didn't have them, they would actually watch the show.
Right, but that's what's hard on ratings, you know? I mean, if you, you know, spoilers are what that Friday cliffhanger used to be, so if you can just log on to the internet and find out what happens, then you don't have to watch the show and the ratings plummet, and then the show gets canceled. I don't know. I mean, I definitely see all the challenges that these showrunners have to face. I just don't think there's an easy answer. I think it's a complex issue.
Now you've done other stuff too, nighttime dramas, and have you thought of doing animated films like voiceovers?
You know, I have, and I used to do an animated series called Biker Mice from Mars, which was really fun. It was with Ian Ziering from the original 90210. He was really fun. Anyway, it was a fun little series that we did. I've never done an animated movie before, but of course I would love to. You know, those opportunities are difficult to get. And but you know, my cousin who lives here, he's a big producer. He's a producer for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And he, have you ever heard of Fanboy and Tom Tom? Fanboy and Chum Chum? Is that what it's called? He's Fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he produces an animated series called Unscripted for FX. Sorry.
Oh,
and you know, so he does a lot of this animated stuff, but he's had to create a lot of it in order to do it. It's really competitive. But yes, I would love to do something like that. Such an easy job. You like roll into the studio in like your pajamas and talk into a microphone for 3 hours, and you've done a whole episode.
That's what I've heard. Is it's fun to come to work in your pajamas? I know
I
have to
like,
do that.
Totally low stress. You know, it's good for me. I'd love to do it.
So, what about the nighttime drama serials? It's a different pace,
you know,
than daytime.
It is. I last year when I did Criminal Minds, you know, it was a lot of like sobbing and freaking out. And, you know, it's one beast to do that on daytime where you hit that note maybe twice, you know, and they just take one of those takes. It's a very different beast to have to do it for like 14 hours straight. It's a different skill and one that I learned pretty quickly that I'm not well versed in. It took me a while to really get to that level. And so, you know, people who shoot prime time, especially prime time drama, you got to hand it to them. They're working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking about network TV, Jim Romanovich a few months ago tweeted that he thought The Bay was going to make it on TV sometime this year. I was wondering if there was any news on that.
None that I can really talk about. I know that we've brought on a new executive producer. His name is Gabriel Grinnell, and he produced the most recent daytime Emmys. along with a lot of other television work. And I think he's taken a real interest in our show and trying to find it a home on television. I know that there have been several pretty successful and somewhat important meetings, and we'll see. And I don't think anyone's prepared to make any announcements today, but I do think that we're on the right track for that. I think that's definitely the goal for our executive producer. You know, in what form that will take, I don't know, and in what, you know, time period that will happen, or I don't know. But I definitely know that's where we're hoping.
Well, heck, success of Dallas on TNT, you know,
yep.
This summer. I mean, I think that's been breathing new life into the whole genre to begin with, you know, that you'd think somebody like TNT or somebody would pick it up and, you know, gosh, that would be...
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you know,
fun time.
The fact that Dallas is amazing. Like, it is, I think, one of the best shows
yeah.
on television right now. Am
yes,
I crazy?
Yes,
it is.
No, it's awesome.
I think Larry Hagman is, like, a super stud, and he's such a good actor, and I love watching him. I love JR.
I'm old enough to remember when he was on the first time, and I had a crush on him even as a little kid. I loved him.
Me too.
And even now,
and
it's funny because he and Sue Ellen, I have to admit I'm behind. I have some of my DVR that I haven't seen yet, so I haven't seen the end of the series for the summer.
I know they're
coming back for January, but in January with new episodes, but... but I just get a big kick out of, like, the range of ages and everything that are into the show, and how it's like the people who watched it back when it first aired are watching it again, and then their kids are watching it, and then people who had never really paid attention to it before are watching it. It's just, and, you know, to think that, you know, J.R. and Sue Ellen are technically, like, the actors are, you know, she's in her early 70s, and he's, like, 80 or 81 or something, and it's like,
really?
Like, so... They're so hot, you know. It's just
he's in his 80s. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think that they're.
Yeah, JR. I mean, Larry Hagman still has it as JR.
I mean,
he has
they both do. They both still have it. I just think that it's such a good thing for the genre. I just hope that there's more, you know. And I'm wishing the Bay
more primetime soaps would be great.
I hope that somebody picks that up because I think that would be. Wouldn't it be awesome to have Dallas as a lead-in or something, or be, you know, connected to that on that network? Ooh.
If anyone's listening, you know what I love about it, though? There are a couple things I really love about Dallas, mainly that they give you enough of the old Dallas that those
yes.
of us grew up watching, that you feel like you're 8 again, like watching TV with your mom,
yes.
and
yes.
like so
mm-hmm.
gripped by this cool drama. But then they also give you these new younger characters, and they're really doing a great job, I think, of introducing this
yes.
younger group. And
yes,
I think it's so smart the way that they have, you know, unlike a lot of these remakes like 90210 and stuff, they're really using the stuff that we already know and love to introduce
right.
this whole new show at the same time. And I think that is how you tell good soap, and I love that they're doing that.
Absolutely. Even from the intro, the song,
oh my God,
the intro.
Yeah.
It's so iconic.
Bring back memories, yeah.
I know. We're fangirling. Yeah. We're fangirling over
the
Dallas.
The first time that they aired that intro, I was like screaming, like, yes, they did it. They did it. But that's what we all want in a remake, right? I mean, we want to be
yeah.
back to that time in our life, and we want to be like, yay, our
yeah.
childhood is relevant again, and like all of
yeah.
this stuff. I think they just
and
nailed
yeah,
it.
And yeah,
they
like you said,
it.
they've updated it in all the ways that are important and good, and it's
yeah.
just like it's polished, it looks good. Cause
right,
afraid.
They're not trying to shove this like foreign story with these foreign people down our throats and naming it something
right.
that it isn't. They're
right.
actually...
Right.
letting us reconnect with these characters we love while we get to know their kids. And I think
absolutely.
That is the perfect way to do it. And it's, I'm going to go watch it right now.
I'm like, I
want to do. Another Dallas fan. Yay.
Oh, my God. I'm a huge soap
yeah.
fan anyway. It needs to be done well.
Yeah.
And they do it great. They do a great
good.
Job. Yeah.
Yeah, you should feel the people who a tweet while watching Dallas. It's always trending whenever it's on. I mean, I haven't
oh, yeah.
been watching it, but I'm probably going to watch it now you guys are talking about it. I haven't watched it.
It's
every time
I
want
to go back
yeah.
and watch it from the very beginning and watch every episode. It's so good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have
to.
I have a friend
who's been getting all the old DVDs because she didn't watch some of it during
people
the
people are rewatching the old
airing.
One.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. she's totally in love with the with Darren Sewell now, so she's going back and watching all the seasons that they, you know.
Good. Now I
want to
do that. I didn't even think about doing that, but I love that.
Yeah.
Show. Oh, and you know what other show? I think they should remake Falcon Crest.
Oh,
I think they
yeah.
should remake Falcon
Crest. Oh, yeah. That's not a bad one
either. That should be next. And Kristen Alfonso should be the lead.
There you go. I'd forgotten that she was on there until the other day when somebody was talking about that. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, Lorenzo Lamas, and I'm trying to think who else.
Yeah.
I liked the girl who, was her name Anna Alicia or something? She was neat. I think she was on that show.
Yeah.
They were
Lance and Melissa or something? Falcon
Crest?
Lance.
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But I know that mm-hmm. every Friday night was me and my mom on the floor playing gin rummy, watching Dallas and Falcon Crest back.
Falcon Crest. Oh, yes.
Yes, I was a nerd as a child, but I loved good TV.
Oh, and then you grew up to actually be on a show where you're making out with hot men all day long.
I must have done well in a past life.
Yeah.
You
it was your destiny.
You obviously love acting, but if you didn't become an actor, what would your other profession, what would your next choice be?
You know, you are asking me a question I ask myself every single day. I definitely did the restaurant thing, and that is, you know, my primary income and my primary profession every day right now, because that's what pays my rent. And I feel like I've been very successful at that. I feel like I understand the business really well, and I really enjoy doing it. I don't want to do it forever because it's just so physically taxing, and it's a lot of hard work, and I'm getting kind of lazy in my old age. I have aspirations to produce. I have aspirations to write and produce something. I don't know what yet. You know, I will want to write and, you know, maybe write a novel. That doesn't sound crazy. I like doing creative things. I like creating things like, I don't know, stories and characters. And I definitely understand the business aspect of a lot of stuff now that I've done it myself for such a long time.
Sure.
So I'm not as afraid of it as I used to be. I think, you know, it's definitely something I could do if I really had the time and energy to just devote to that.
Right.
But like I said, you know, I'm thinking about family, and I'm thinking about kids in the future, and, you know, I don't know if that will actually happen or not, but maybe being a mom is good.
Aww.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Right. Break that to
Henry. Henry has a good mom. My husband and I are about to launch an internet company in the next couple of weeks. We're getting ready to do our test phase of a new company called ChefSheet.com, which is the very first cloud-based internet app and smartphone app for managing inventory in your restaurant, which is something that restaurants have to do.
Wow.
And we have found a really cool way to do it. It also adds a lot of really exciting features. We have great backers, and I think it's going to be a really revolutionary product for restaurants around
very
the globe.
Cool.
So I think this is really something that could provide us with something really fun to do. A lot of travel will probably be involved, and I think that doing something like that, you know, could help me have the time and energy to focus on something creative at that point. So.
Right.
That's the
instead
goal.
Of being on your
That's
feet so much and, you know, being all day long, go, 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 yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
I mean,
say the name of it again and maybe spell it out so people can.
It's called Chef Sheet, so like a chef and his inventory sheet. So it's chefsheet.com.
Okay.
The site's not active yet, but the app will be in the iPhone, I'm sorry, the Apple iTunes store probably within a month. We have a test group up in Napa, California, that's going to do a really condensed test group that we can really manage and watch closely so that we can fix any problems with it, and then we'll launch in San Francisco right after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can see. I don't know much about that the restaurant business, but I can imagine having that mobile so that they can just do it on the spot whenever. That would be amazing.
Exactly, and it's, you know, you can do it from your iPad, you can do it from any smartphone. And you can upload it into the cloud, you know, so people at multiple restaurant locations can check it from anywhere in the world. And there's a lot of other great features that, restaurateurs will really understand that I won't bore you with, but things that don't exist now that should exist. And I feel really, really excited about the fact that we're going to be the first ones out there doing this.
Wow,
that's
really
cool.
Yeah.
Because people are attached to their phones nowadays, you know. Phones go with them everywhere.
They are.
They do everything. Coming
from the restaurant industry, it's definitely a hole in the market. You know, it's definitely something that doesn't exist that we need. And it's the first time that something like an inventory management software isn't designed by restaurateurs. So it's I have a lot of faith in it. I think it's going to be a big deal. I'm really excited about it.
Wow. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Me too.
Yeah.
You can join our adventures. You can
stuff like that. Join our Facebook fan page at chefsheet.com on Facebook, and you can read more about all of its different properties and what it does.
You should be sure to let Carrie know, you know, with the blog and everything. I'm sure we could put it on the blog, too. And it's
That would be great. Thank you. Yes, definitely.
Definitely. We like to pimp for good people.
Yeah.
I get that vibe.
Okay, let's take a caller, but she's been on hold for a while. Okay, Pam, you're on with Martha.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Hi, Martha.
Hi, Pam. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I'm just fine. I'm a big fan of the Bay and love your work on there. I just wanted to know what it's like working with Ignacio. I think the chemistry between the characters of Marley and Manny is just wonderful, and it just comes across on the screen, and I just wondered how it was, you know, acting with him and working with him.
Oh, you know, I have to tell you, working with Ignacio has been nothing but a treat. It's been, he is a stand-up comedian, actually, in real life, and he is the funniest person I've ever met in my life. I'm not joking. We are in stitches from the minute we see each other to the minute we leave because he is hilarious. I really love working with him. He's really dedicated to his characters, and he commits to everything, and I think he's really passionate about it. He really enjoys what he's doing, and that is the kind of person that I love working with. So we have a great chemistry. We're also just really good friends off camera. We hang out a lot, and we talk all the time, and he's a great guy. I've been trying to hook him up with all of my single girlfriends because he wants someone to look out with Ignacio. He's just an all-around terrific guy. I really love working with him.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed that the Bay will turn into today's Dallas, and people will be talking about that in years to come.
You and me both, sister.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Pam.
Bye-bye.
I can't imagine it. It'd be hard to hook up Ignacio with anyone. I mean, he's going to say no.
Yeah. You know what? Ignacio is kind of, you know, he's a free spirit. He's really spontaneous and really fun and very smart, like wicked smart. And I think it takes a really special girl to kind of keep up with a guy like him. So. I got my eyes open for someone because I want to keep him in my inner circle. I want to keep my eye on him.
Okay, I'm going to take another caller. Susan pops up here. Lily, you're on with Martha Madison.
Hi, baby girl.
Hi, how are you?
I haven't seen you in a while.
Is this Lily?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lily Melgar. Thea and I spent an hour on the treadmill gabbing away this morning at the gym. So it's been, 5 hours since I've seen you?
Yeah, I just miss you so much. So much.
I have that effect on people.
Of all people that you haven't been able to work with on the boat, who would you like to have some food with?
Let me think about that for a moment. Well, right. Yes, I would like to work with my Lily. And I believe that we have some scenes together coming up this season. So stay tuned.
We're very excited about that. You know, Gregory has really tapped into some magic, as you guys were discussing earlier, with great chemistry, pairing people up that actually have a natural chemistry. And Martha and I certainly have that, so it's going to be so much fun. And I love working with talented, dedicated actors, so I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm a big Martha Madison fan.
I'm a big Lily fan. And P.S., I think I have the perfect campaign for Lily. I think we need to start a campaign of Lily Melgar and Eric Fellows' Cougar Story on the Bay. Can I get a hell yeah?
Yeah, she doesn't want to be the only one with the hottie on the show.
She's a young hottie.
She's so kind and generous. She wants to share the wealth. Yeah, I can't hook up with my brother.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Well, it is a soap, right?
Yeah, maybe he's really my brother.
Switch that birth.
Anyway,
I just wanted to call in and say hi and let everybody know that I'm a Martha Madison fan. How lucky we are to have you on the show and how much I look forward to working with you.
Yay, I can't wait either. And P.S., Lily is the bomb.
And I'll see you at the gym tomorrow, baby girl.
Yes, I'll see you in the morning. We'll talk all about it.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye, Lily.
Bye.
You're so
cool.
Funny.
Looking forward to you guys on screen together. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm really excited. She's a firecracker. She called me a pistol, so she's a firecracker.
Yeah, you can tell she's a firecracker just watching her on screen. I was looking forward to the whole triangle I thought with Lee and Sarah and, you know, the whole thing with Liana and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of good story there yet to tell, I think. So lots of opportunity for story for Lily's character. I hope they do something fun with her.
Okay. Let's take another caller. Sherry.
Yes.
You're on with Martha Madison.
Hi, Martha. It's nice to talk to you.
Hi, Sherry. Nice to talk to you, too.
My question for you is, there seems to be a lack of spoilers out there for The Bay. Do we know why?
You know why? Because our cast and crew consists of about 12 people. So there's not a lot of opportunity for spoilage. I also think, we don't have 3.5 million viewers yet, but we will, and at that time, I'm sure you'll see.
Right, it would be great. It just, as a fan, it just makes you want to tune in to that next episode, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, and this is what I'm preaching, people. Like, you have to keep it close to the vest in order to keep people watching, and I think that Gregory's done a pretty good job of that, and we all try and back him up by not spilling too much.
And that's good, too. You have to do it works, right?
That's right. And you have to keep tuning in because there's a great story coming up.
I've enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Martha.
You bet. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, we had a question on Twitter from Lily at Fairy Winter, and she wanted to know how it was like working with Jay Kenneth on Undercover Bridesmaids.
I'll tell you what, that was actually a really big surprise for two reasons. One, that when I got the call from my agent that I had booked that part, she said, your old cast member is on it too, Jay Johnson. And I said, oh, how do you know that? And she said, he's my client too. I had no idea. We had the same agent all this time. So that was a surprise. I have to tell you, it was such a blast shooting that show, or that movie was probably the most fun I've ever had shooting anything. No offense to Bay, anybody, but it was like we were shooting at this mansion up in the hills in Agoura Hills, and gorgeous weather and just it was like being on vacation for like a month with like 10 of the coolest people I've ever worked with in my life. And Jay was there, but he played the groom to Nicole Paddy's bride. And I had to watch him kiss like 100 times. And I got a little jealous, like, he's my husband.
Oh, yeah, what's up with that?
But no, I mean, we had so much fun. We always have fun working together, but it was also a really great cast. It was an ensemble cast of like, I don't know, 10 or 12 of the coolest people I've ever met, all of which are still good friends of mine. And that was a really, really fun shoot. And, you know, Jay's just funny. He's a fun guy to work with. Like I said a million times before.
Did they replay that? Was that on Hallmark or what?
It was on Hallmark Channel. It's called Undercover Bridesmaids, starring Brooke Burns. And they play it. I mean, I feel like I hear that people are watching it all the time. So I feel like they replay it pretty often. But it originally aired back in April. Yeah.
Because I heard about it after the fact, and I was like, oh, I missed it. But I wonder, probably.
Yeah.
Do
no, I mean, it was like the first show I ever did. I didn't have to cry. It was amazing. I just like got to be bubbly and like a dumb blonde for, well, the redhead then, but like a dumb blonde for like 3 weeks. It was super fun.
So that just reminded me, I have to ask you, because when you said about crying, because I think the scene that just ripped my heart out that actually is really like blew me away with Belle was the was when John died. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
But what was that like when new John came back and he kept calling you Tink? So cute. I just love that. Did you guys have fun with him being new John or whatever? We were calling him N-U John, like J-U-W-N, like the pawn, and combining all kinds of names with that, you know? But he was so funny when he came back. I was kind of hoping he would bring a lot of new John with him when he came back this time. Because I just love that. But you guys were so funny. I don't know. It just cracked me up.
You know, I think Drake is hilarious. I don't know if you've ever met him before, but he is like, I don't even know how to describe Drake. He's like, he's really passionate. He's really intense, but he's hilarious. He is
animated,
so funny.
Yeah.
Really animated. He's just got a huge personality. And he's, again, like one of these people that's like wicked smart. He knows like 90% about everything. You know what I mean?
Oh.
He's one of these people who's just like, his brain is like a steel trap. And
Even after Stefano erased it? Oh, wait, that's not real life. I'm sorry, I forgot for a minute.
But I think getting to have him back playing a role that was not completely determined, that was sort of left open for him to play with. He had a really good time doing that, kind of going to exploring the corners of that character. And, you know, for me, I'm just waiting to kind of react to whatever he's going to do. So any of those moments that you're like, I'm looking at him like he's on fire or something, I mean, really is me seeing him do that for the first time. Like, I'm not really sure what to do. you know, I love working with people like that because then you can really get the best out of each other. And he's definitely one of those really passionate, dedicated actors. He's a hoot. I really love him.
And I had a question from another viewer. Do you keep in contact with your coworkers?
Some of them. You know, Rachel Melvin and I are pretty tight. We work on, you know, I think we are each other's creative sounding board. We get together and kind of shoot ideas off of each other on things that we're working on. So I really love her. I really respect her. She's super creative and very smart and doing some really cool things right now in her own career. So I keep in close contact with her. Like I said, I tend to run into Jay from time to time. I haven't seen him since we shot that movie, but I see Allie from time to time. She used to come into Henry's Hat quite a bit. And, you know, I keep in touch with Deidre on a pretty regular basis. So, yeah, I think a lot of people I keep in touch with, a lot of people I run into. You know, it's a pretty small community, so I saw Farrah not long ago at an audition. It was great catching up with her, and I get to see people every once in a while, but really as far as keeping in close contact, there are a lot of people that work in production that I'm really close to. And Rachel, I'd say, as far as actors or people that I, cool. someone that I really keep in close contact with.
Aww. Yeah. Because Deidre does seem quite fond of you, especially on Twitter and Facebook, and I think she would comment you like one of her favorite daughters on the show. But yeah, so that's great. I'm glad you guys have such a wonderful relationship, and I'm sure they would love to have Sticker Belle back on the show.
Yeah,
and so believable, you know, mother and daughter. Both look,
oh yeah,
you know, like my mother and daughter. Yeah, both good criers too. You know,
well,
yeah.
She has a very maternal vibe about her. You know, she's a great mom to her boys, and she's been very nurturing to me during the time that I was working there. And she's really made an effort to kind of stay in touch from time to time, and I really appreciate that. She went above and beyond for me when I was there. You know, it was pretty new. She came on, and she's, you know, this wonderful lady has been there for like ever. And, and she knew that I grew up kind of watching her. And I think she took the opportunity to really take me under her wing and teach me as fast as she could so that I didn't have to go through that really long, drawn-out process of being a complete fish out of water, which anyone who joins the soap for the first time has that period of time that, you know, you kind of suck. You don't know what you're doing. Like, you're around a bunch of professionals who are way better and way quicker than you, and she helped me kind of get my pace. And I'll always remember her for that. She's been what's great to me.
Today's under unusual circumstances. They casted Charity Raymer, and God bless her, but she was awful. And she was really bad. I hope she's improved significantly. You know, God bless her. But how much notice did you get that you were cast as Belle?
About 30 minutes.
Holy cow.
I got a call. Let's see. So Charity had aired for one day. I think she had aired on like a Monday or Tuesday or something. And I got a call the next morning from my agent saying, how quickly can you get to NBC in Burbank? I said, why? And she said, I'm not really sure. They're asking for your shoe size. My shoe size. So, you know, we were like, you know, it turns out later she knew. She just wanted to surprise me. But, you know, I'm like guessing the whole way as I'm like speeding over there that, you know, maybe they have a day player or something that I get to play a role for a day. I was like really excited about just getting cast in like a little part. So I went there, and as soon as I walked in, my very favorite stage manager, Stuart Howard, walked me up to the then executive producer's office, who was Steve Wyman, who is a rock star, by the way. And he said in a very Steve Wyman voice, you know, Martha, sometimes we make mistakes, and we made one here, and we want to offer you the role of Belle. And I was completely shocked. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I literally jaw to the floor because I'm expecting to play, like, Nurse U5 or something, you know what I mean? And so I said, okay, well, yes, of course. Oh, my God, I'm so excited. When do I start? And he handed me two scripts, and he said, right now. He said, go down to hair and makeup. They're ready for you. Your dress is in your room, and I'm going to send a coach, an acting coach, down to work with you. We'll see you on set in about 2 hours.
Holy God.
I did two shows that day with Farrah Fath and Eric Winter and Kyle Brandt, who were all fun and amazing. And, you know, we got through it. It wasn't great, but we got through it. And, you know, I've looked back on that episode once or twice and just thought, wow, it was just so tragically bad. But I remember that I had literally like 25 minutes to learn those lines. Like, I didn't even know what I was doing. And
if
I was
you had any idea,
shock,
you would know it would have been a huge improvement no matter how bad you were that day.
I never saw it, but I think knowing now what I didn't know then is that working in daytime television is very intimidating right away, and it's very fast, and it's very scary because you're working with these people who have been doing it like clockwork for years. And It's not for everybody. Not everybody is cut out for that kind of work. And I'm sure that she was a great actress who had a hard time with the schedule. You know, it's hard.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, it was, says a lot about you that you could jump right in like that. Wow.
Well, you know, it could have not turned out well. It just so happens that it did. So lucky me. Every day, I feel like every single day I fought for that job because I wasn't sure I was ever going to keep
it. So did your manager or agent, I'm not sure it was your agent or your manager, did they purposely not tell, what was that?
She purposefully did not tell me, yes.
Yeah, so you wouldn't be freaking out. You wouldn't be freaking out L.A. traffic till you got there.
Yeah, that was basically what she said. She said, I wanted you to not get in a wreck on your way there. And so
yeah.
I was like, okay, well, thanks.
Oh.
So, That was a great day.
Story. Wow, what a
one
deep
those,
story.
One of those extraordinary moments that you have in your life once in a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Aww. The good old days.
Oh.
Who was the first person you called after you filmed that day to tell them the story?
I called my mom. I was actually in the makeup chair getting ready for my second show, and Allie Sweeney was sitting next to me in her makeup chair, and I had not yet met her, and I was trying to call my mom, and I was telling her what happened, and I'm, like, kind of crying and, like, shaking, and, like, I just couldn't believe I had just shot a whole show of Days of Our Lives, and, like, I was finally getting to tell her this, and she was crying and screaming and so excited. And I look over, and everyone's, like, looking at me, like, they didn't know what to make of it. And then I heard Allie go, one of these days, or she said, what was her exact quote? Something about, like, I remember when I wasn't jaded or something like that. Like, she was making a joke that, like, it was so special to me at the moment, but she's been doing it for such a long time, yeah. So.
Oh, hopefully.
It was really a great moment, and I always will remember that about her, and she was, you know, she kind of teared up a little bit too. I think it was moving.
Aww.
I'm like sobbing in my chair, this grown woman who's realized a very specific dream. So.
Oh, wow. And you watched Days as a child too? Or
Listen, I watched Days of Our Lives every single day of my life since I was 8 years old. So,
oh, wow.
I mean, like, I would record it on my VCR every day. It was my 1 hour of TV I would watch before I would go to bed after work and stuff like that. I was one of those crazy people that was like, if my VCR didn't record it for some reason, like, I would have a fit.
Oh, what do you mean?
I can't get it
back. You're just like us. All right.
Yeah. So you
only learn you're all of a sudden having to work with. That you're all of a sudden having to work with these icons that you, like, grew up watching, like Deidre.
Yes.
Wow.
So when people ask me what my first day was like, who has watched the show forever, I say, imagine what it would be like on your first day.
Right.
That's what it was like.
Oh, wow.
Right.
It was crazy. So,
wow. That's cool.
I feel very grateful to have had that period of time in my life and always have a special place in my life for Days of Our Lives.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
We are super dorking out right now.
We won't tell anyone that we're doing this.
We'll switch soaps for a little bit. You're on General Hospital recently. So what was that
like? Well, it was amazing. Again, it was one of those moments that I was at work at Henry Pat, and my agent called and said, do you have any pictures with brown hair? And I said, no. He said, all right, let me call you back. And I was like, well, wait, so what do you need it for? And she said, well, Mark Kessner just called. He's casting director at General Hospital and wants to know if you have a picture with dark hair. And I said, well, let me see if I can doctor something up. So I called my sister-in-law, who is a graphic designer, and said, and sent her my headshot. And I said, can you make my hair brown on this headshot? And she said, sure. So she did it in like 10 minutes, and it looked, you know, terrible, but it worked. And I sent it to my agent. I said, how about that? She kind of laughed and sent it on. And they said, can she come in this afternoon and dye her hair? And I said, really? For what? They told me what it was for and that it was a short-term deal. They didn't know how long that Becky would be out. And I said, absolutely, I'll dye my hair. Let's do it. And I went over there that day and rehearsed and did my hair and stuff and then shot the next day. So, again, it was, you know, like soaps, it's just all very quick. It's very fast. You have to be really spontaneous. And I was really just flattered that they thought I could do something like that. I wasn't as confident as they were. So I think it all in all turned out okay, but very hard to step into a role like that and pull it off for a week. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That one scared me. I was really afraid of that job. And I never showed them that, but every day I was just terrified it was going to be a colossal failure. I don't think it was colossal, but I don't think that there's any way anybody could really come into her shoes and do it the way she does it. She's a pro.
But hey, for you to be able to go in like that, like now, you know, like just drop everything and go in just like you did with Days, it's like, wow, you know?
Yeah, that's, it's almost like a weird story in my life. You know, it just keeps recurring. Like I said, just super flattered that they trusted me with something like that, and I think it turned out okay. And the fans of General Hospital were very warm and inviting for the most part and really accepting of the situation, understanding that it wasn't going to be a long-term thing, so I think people were a little more forgiving than usual.
Right.
But it, all in all, I think turned out to be a really positive experience, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Did you get to work with Jason Cook at all? I'm sorry,
I did an entire episode, just the two of us, doing surgery on someone. It was very weird. I love Jason. He's hilarious and really smart. And it turns out that the last or second to last episode that I did at General Hospital was just us performing surgery on a character, Siobhan. Do you watch General Hospital?
I don't.
Oh, okay. So it was, you know, I'm his nurse and he's the surgeon doing, like, brain surgery on this woman, and I'm, you know, passing the scalpel and all of that and nearly killing this girl by accident. And it was very strange to work with Jason as we're both playing completely different characters, but in a very similar environment. It was great. It was really fun.
That's really cool. I mean, it does seem like the Kirsten's coming back, and now Jason's gone from the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it does seem like there's an odd swapping going on between Days of Our Lives and General Hospital.
They both have really really prominent online fan bases and just fan bases in general, and I think Jason and Kirsten and Farah and Nadia and all of these people are really popular. And, you know, they'd be crazy to not be fighting over them. They bring in viewers, great viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think you're seeing.
How do you handle that, you know, when you had the Philip and Belle issue with Sean and Belle, you had the two fan bases that really wanted you with two different hot-looking men. how do you handle that?
I think you don't try to handle it. I think that you get paid to do the story, and you show up to work, and you do the story they want you to do. I definitely have the second side of me that a lot of the actors don't, and that I am a fan of the show, and I do have an opinion of what I think works and fun story to tell. And, you know, I think I definitely have my opinion, and I don't really hold it back that much. It's not a personal opinion. You know, I think people like to derive these, like, personal backstage dramas based on what story you prefer to tell. You know, let's just be totally clear that I love Jay Johnson, and I love Jason Cook, and I love Brandon Beamer, and there's no bad blood between any of us.
Right.
And I hate it when people try and derive that personal nonsense. But I definitely have a preference for the Belle and Philip pairing. I always have. And I'd like to see that story told. I hope I don't piss off anyone. But, you know, if I were ever to play that part again and it was with Jason and they wanted that story to be played, we would play it great. We would have a great time doing it. But I think as a fan, I like to see the Belle and Philip thing happen. I think it's kind of hot.
Yeah, it was definitely. So,
right.
So now you and Jay just need to come back to Days, and we could, you know, we could.
Well,
we
you're
could
talking to the wrong person.
Oh, well, we definitely would like to see that.
Mm. Well, you never know. Never know. It happened like that sometimes.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up for the night. So we have the Bay episode 3 of Dark Side of the Bay. Look forward to Thursday at 3:15 Eastern.
Okay.
And I find that at thebaytheseries.com, I believe that's the website.
That's
so, and yeah, I mean, check out Martha as Marley. So,
Yes, and if you ever are looking for updates on The Bay or anything else that I'm working on, you can always check me out at my new website, MarthaMadison.com.
There you
awesome.
Go.
And Martha, I'm at Kazi Hooch on Twitter, but I have some information for you. I'll touch base with you on Twitter, but just so you know this, because I haven't introduced myself as Kazi Hooch.
Okay, well, I'll look for it.
But anyway, all right. Well, it was great talking with you. Thank you so much.
It was really fun talking to you, girl.
Thank you, Martha.
Thanks for inviting me, and thanks for everyone who's listening.
Well, take care. We'll see you soon. We'll be watching for you.
Thank you. Take care, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Martha.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.